The next chapter of the book of Romans is really up to you. In one way, we can think of the Bible as being God's act of revelation from history to this point, and from this point really to the time that eternity begins. But also, in a sense, we realize that the Bible is still being written by the stories of God's people and what they do and what they choose. And I want to say to you this morning as I begin my sermon that this sermon really belongs to you. I do have some things I want to say in my sermon today, but I'm not going to preach a very long sermon, and then I'm going to turn it over to you and I'm going to ask you to share scriptures that are important to you and that are meaningful to you. I want to give you an opportunity to share from your heart some scriptures that are deep in your heart and your spirit and your relationship to God. I realized last week as I invited a few people to share a life verse and began to hear them that there are a lot of people that resonated with the importance of hearing God's Word and hearing the testimony of people and what scriptures are meaningful in their hearts and their lives. And so this morning we're going to take quite a bit of time and allow people to do that. I just want to prepare you a little bit ahead of time. I want to let you know that probably in about 10, 15 minutes or so, I'm going to come down and I'm going to have a microphone and I'm going to just invite you to share a scripture that's very meaningful to you. We've been in a sermon series from the book of Romans. The book of Romans is a book that contains the heart of God about how much He loves people, how much He cares deeply about people coming to faith in Christ. And the more I read in the book of Romans, the more I see in through the Scripture that God cares deeply about people and He wants us to care deeply about them as well. God does call every Christian to be a missionary. You know, when I grew up, I didn't think of missionaries as being every Christian. I thought it was just a particular person with a certain calling, and because they went to another country and they brought back snake skins or whatever it was, that's what a missionary was. But, you know, that is a misconception of what the Scripture says about Christianity. Christianity and evangelism and being a witness for Jesus is for every Christian and every believer. And one of the ways that God gives us the opportunity to do that is with our words. It's not the only way, and other ways are very important as well, but God calls every Christian to use their tongue to glorify God. Words are important. God calls His people to be a witness for Him in the words that they use and the things that they speak. We've been reading many, many times how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That does come from the book of Romans. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. But we also read in the Scripture how beautiful is the tongue or the mouth or the speech of a godly person. How important it is that we use our tongues in order to glorify God and encourage people in the Christian faith. For the last few weeks, we have been focusing on the power of God's Word in our witness. God's truth changes lives, and we are to be carriers of that truth. We are to be the ones that take the truth of God's Word and live it out 7 days a week in everything that we do. We've recently been talking about Billy Graham. Billy Graham will turn 95 years old this fall in November, and he is preparing a 30-minute broadcast in November, and he has invited Christians across our country to invite people into their homes, into a setting where they can watch that broadcast together, where some things about his life are going to be shown, and then he's going to share about coming to faith in Christ, and he wants to invite the American church to care deeply about their neighbors and their friends and their co-workers and take time over the next 2 months to pray for people and to begin to build relationships with them and show time and care, take opportunities to get to know people and show care for them. And then in November on the 7th, if that night works, invite them into your home and together watch that 30-minute broadcast, Billy Graham. Probably everybody in America knows who Billy Graham is. Don't need to be a Christian to know that, but know that this is a man who spent his whole life telling people about Christ and coming to faith in Jesus. And Billy Graham wants one more opportunity. He's praying that God will give him one more opportunity to speak to the people in our country about coming to faith in Christ. And so I've challenged our church family for the 6-month period from July till the end of December to be praying about being able to be used of God in our circle of influence in order to see people come to faith in Christ. And been pretty neat to hear some of the stories so far of people in our church family who have been praying and who've been writing down the names of people to pray for and build bridges of relationship with. And I've heard some pretty neat and creative things over the last few weeks of how people have begun to reach out to friends and co-workers and neighbors and find those people in that circle of influence and invite them to a relationship with Jesus. It begins with building a bridge of friendship and relationship. We are praying for people in our circle of influence. We are looking for opportunities to build bridges of friendship. For Debbie and I, we've decided that the best way that we can do our best to influence a circle of influence is ask God to help us how we can get to know our neighbors better, our physical neighbors. We live in an area, we've lived there now for 6 years, and we've discovered that we have six neighbors very close to us. And of the six, we've really never gotten to know any of them really well. We've talked with them, but we've never really gotten to know them well. And God's placed it on our hearts to begin to build a relationship with them. And so we've been trying to do that. During this past week and a half, we have gone to each one of our neighbors' houses and had an opportunity to talk to them. And what we're trying to do is we're having a cookout in 2 weeks, and we've invited all our neighbors to come and get to know us better and get to know them better. And just praying that God will open the door. Some of our neighbors we know are Christians. Some of our neighbors we don't believe, as far as we know, that they have any relationship with the Lord. And so we're praying that God will help us to know what we can do where we're at in our circle of influence. Thank you for your encouragement and your prayers. We do need to pray for each other. Thank you for the ways that you have prayed for us. But we're praying that God's going to open that door of opportunity, and that some of them will come to faith in Christ, and some of them will be encouraged in their faith. And I just got to believe that there's a lot of people in this Mifflinburg area that need Jesus, and God's people, as we reach out to them, have opportunities to show care and love for them. And again, I want to encourage you. We had over 100 people about 4 weeks ago that said that they would pray and they would be a Matthew. They would seek to reach out to the people in their circle of influence and bring them to faith in Christ. And so we've been talking about ways to do that and talking about important things. The last few weeks we focused on the importance of the Scriptures, God's words, and how important it is that we use the Word of God and we speak His truth and love to people. God's words and knowing the Scriptures and being a part of you is such an important part of an effective witness. Consider the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 7. If you want to turn to it this morning, I want to read three verses today from Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 43. I said Luke chapter 7. I meant Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Listen to these words of Jesus, a tree and its fruit. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. No good tree bears fruit, bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want you to focus this morning for a couple of minutes on this last part of these words that Jesus spoke here. He said, for out of the overflow of the heart, His mouth speaks. This morning I want to speak to you a couple of minutes about what's in your heart, the importance of having your heart right with God. If your heart is right with God, then it will be filled with good things that will be a blessing to people in your life. When your heart is right with God, and Jesus is talking here about that overflow of the heart, Jesus is talking about what's on the inside of your heart, talking about that part of you, your motivation. And if your heart is filled with God's Spirit and God's truth and the love of God, then it will guide you and it will watch over you and it will help you to have the influence that God wants you to have in the lives of people around you. Filling your heart with the Scriptures makes you strong and able to be a witness for God. When you know what God's Word says, and it's a part of you, and it lives deeply inside of you, then it will come out of you, and it will influence people in your life. Filling your heart with the Scriptures makes you strong and able to be a witness for God. Jesus talks to us here about the importance of a tree and its fruit. Reminds me that our fruit is important to God. Our fruit is important to Jesus. Jesus cares about the fruit that you have in your life. He cares about the influence that you have. And for every Christian, God somehow knows us. He knows the potential. He knows the opportunities. And He cares deeply about how we use that potential to honor Him. Our spiritual fruit is important to God. Your words are a part of your fruit. What you say to people are a part of that fruit that is evident in your life. Fruit can be good and sweet and give life, or fruit can be sour or shriveled up and not be any good. And so our words can be so important. They are so important to be the kind of fruit that God wants us to. Jesus tells us that our heart determines the fruit. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. You know, God knows what's on the inside of us, and He knows that what's on the inside of us is what will make a difference in the lives of people. What is inside will be what comes out. Jesus said, from out of the overflow, His mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of your heart is what will come out in your testimony and your witness. And if in your heart is God's truth and God's love and God's authority, then it will come out in your mouth. And if in your heart you're number one and you're in charge of your life, then that's going to come out in your speech and it will come out in your influence. What is inside will be what comes out. From out of the overflow, His mouth speaks. That's why it is so important to fill your mind and your heart with God's truth. Proverbs chapter 4 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. How important God says it is to guard that part of you that is your affections and your choices. Guard it above everything else. Watch over it. Be careful about what you let into your heart. Be careful about what you take into your mind and you take into your ears and you take into your brain, you take into your heart, because what you take in will determine what you are on the inside. If you listen to stuff that dishonors God, if you read stuff that dishonors God, if you have conversations with people that dishonors God, then you know your heart is going to be full of something that is not good for you in your life. So guard it. Be careful about it. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. We need to be so careful about what we allow in our hearts. If we allow junk in there, then junk is going to come out of there. If you fill your heart with God's truth, then that's what's going to come out. And it will have influence on the people around you. I think of it like a tube of toothpaste. When you open the cap and you squeeze it, what comes out? Well, whatever was put in it. Nothing else is going to come out of that tube of toothpaste except what was on the inside. It's the same thing in your life. If you fill your life with God's goodness and God's truth, then when you get squeezed, what's going to come out? God's truth is. But if your heart and your mind is full of things that dishonor God, then it's going to come out. It's going to look ugly on the outside. It's going to come out and it's going to be a stain. But God wants to use truth in your life, in your heart, His Word, the treasure, in order to come out and have an influence in people's lives. We also read last week the scripture about being ready. We can be ready to give an answer for our faith. We can be ready in God's eyes in order to speak God's Word and God's truth if we prepare ourselves. Our words can bring healing. They can bring guidance. They can bring hope to the people in our lives. I think of Proverbs chapter 16 says, pleasant words are like honey. They're sweet and healing. Pleasant words are like honey. When you're speaking the words of God, then they will bring healing to people. They will bring truth to people. They will hear it and they will be changed. A word aptly spoken, and another proverb says, is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I just love this proverb. It's a beautiful idea. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I want to say to you today, the words that you use are so important. The words that you use in everyday life is so important. The people around you that need to hear the truth and the love of God. If your speech is of things above, then it will draw them to Jesus. You can use your tongue to be an influence for Him. being able to speak those words of God's truth are important to a genuine witness. Last week, I talked about having a life verse or a guiding scripture in your life. I also talked about the importance of memorizing scripture, and I want to say to you today, next week, Lord willing, I plan to give a lot of different scriptures kind of in a format that you can take them and look at them and encourage you to read them and choose some maybe from that list or that you want to draw from the Word of God that you can work on to read over and over and over again and absorb your heart and your mind. And then as you have opportunity and someone asks you about your faith, maybe during this time of this 6-month period that God would put it in your heart about His Word and your ability to be able to read them and share them with other people. I talked about memorizing Scripture, but we also talked about having a life verse, a guiding Scripture in your life. I told you that a very important Scripture to me from the Old Testament is this, what is man and what doth I require of thee to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. That's a Scripture that's in my mind and in my heart, and I believe that it impacts everything that I want to do as a Christian and a believer. And this morning, I want to give opportunity for some of you to share from your heart a Scripture that God's placed deep within you, and you would like to read it this morning. I'm going to walk down, and I'm going to bring a couple of microphones, and we're going to pass them around. And this morning, I want to ask you if you would like to share a life verse, to share a Scripture. Understand that your words have influence in the lives of other people. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to pass this microphone around. In fact, I'm going to ask Tim to help me with this. Would you, on this side, take this microphone? We'll use these two. And I would like to ask you to stand and read your Scripture, or if you haven't memorized, just read it and tell us one thing about it that's important to you. And this morning, give opportunity for God's people to share of a Scripture that's in their heart and important and special to you. So, I don't know who wants to go first. Somebody be bold and stand up right here. We got somebody. That's what I like to see. In fact, I don't mind, instead of we wait and take time between each one, if you have one today, go ahead and just stand up. And please, let's just keep it going, and we'd love to hear what God puts on your heart. Stand up, if you can.
Well, mine is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and I personalize this verse. It says, if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding and acknowledge Him in all my ways, He will make my path straight.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. I'm surprised that nobody mentioned John 3:16 last week and already this week. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's one of my favorite scriptures, but there are many. But there's one or a little cluster of scriptures that has stuck with me for many years. As a matter of fact, they are the scripture verses that were used at my dad's funeral. And I think that's why they have had an impact on my life. But we go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 15, verse 12 says, and these are the words of Jesus. He said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. That tells us pretty straight, you know, big order. Love one another as I have loved you. And then verse 13 says this, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But then verse 14 really is the punctuation of it all. And Jesus says, I am your friend. Jesus laid down His life for me, for you, for all of us, because He is our friend. And I thought about these verses of Scripture this morning as we were singing the old rugged cross, how they fit in so beautifully with Jesus laying down His life for us.
Thank you, Ralph. Go ahead, Lynn. As a boy, I had a plaque on my dresser. And I would see it every morning, every evening. And I had that up actually till we were married. And it was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As I grew in my Christian faith,
Another scripture became really important to me. It's Matthew 25:40. I tell you the truth, what you do to the least of these brothers of mine, you did to me. Thank you.
I have to put my glasses on to read. The Lord actually gave this to me when I was a teenager, and I don't think I, of course, understood the meaning of it. But as the years have gone by, and you know, God deepens and strengthens us in our life calling, it's made more and more sense to me. And this is from Exodus chapter 18, verses 19 through 21. It says, "Listen now to me, and I will counsel you, and God will be with you. You will represent the people before God and bring their cases and causes to him," which to me speaks of prayer, "and then teaching them the decrees and laws and showing them the way that they must walk and the work that they must do." And I love to teach. "Moreover, you will choose able-bodied men from among the people, God-fearing men of truth who hate unjust gain, and place them over thousands and hundreds, over fifties and tens to be their rulers." And to me, that speaks of setting up strategic prayer teams.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, my Bible verse I learned at camp, and it made me realize that there's only one God and that nobody can take his place, and it's Isaiah 45:22. "Turn to me and be saved, for I am God and there is no other."
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. That was from camp, wasn't it? Yeah, I didn't hear you say that. That was from kids' camp.
"Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And also I was reading in Ecclesiastes, and it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man."
Excellent.
Isaiah 43 tells us, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the river, it will not overflow you." And I don't think there's any of us here that don't have difficulties in our life. And God has redeemed us. He has called us by name. My name is there. And I just have to add, when we talk about the fire, I shared this with the board. I'm sure everybody is familiar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it's about how Nebuchadnezzar wanted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to worship his idol, and they refused. So he said, "Put them in the fire, make it seven times as hot." So they threw them in, and Nebuchadnezzar said, "Oh, we only put three men in there, but I see four." And the story goes on to tell how they were not burned, and they came out of the fire. And the men that had thrown them in were burned, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out unharmed. And that fourth man in my heart, I believe, was Jesus walking with them. And I believe that I can put my own name in there when I'm in the fire. Jesus is there with me, and I will survive, just like Isaiah 43 tells us. So, I feel privileged to say that Jesus is with Shadrach, Meshach, and Blashach.
Karen?
As an early teenager, my very favorite verse has always been Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. But over the last year or so, the Lord has laid on me Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And I've been trying to chew on these words. And it's a prayer of Paul. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay. I like to say that every time I feel as though that things get a little bit weary in my life, I always turn to Psalms, because Psalms has a great way of uplifting the spirit within me. So that's what I pull towards. I want to read these three verses here that I have here. It says, away from me, all you do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and disarrayed.
Thank you. Excellent. And mine is Psalm 46:10, and it's actually half of the verse, very succinct. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
It's just very powerful for me.
Amen. Go ahead.
Mine is Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Without God, there's too much fear. And I learned that with God, I have no fear.
Amen. Thank you.
Growing up, we had a verse on a wall that said, as for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't know. I know we kind of set the tone in our house, and that's kind of the verse I want to make is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
We kind of live in a world that seems to revolve around money and possessional things, and I kind of like to live my life thinking that, you know, I don't want to put money before God, and I don't want to put possessional things before God. And I was thinking that this verse just kind of hits me, but the end of it really is what I try to live my life for. To keep our lives free from, this is Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And I try to do that, try to just be content. I think we all need to be content with what we have and not want what our neighbors have or what we strive for. But God has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And that's what I seem to get out of this verse most, that no matter where I'm at in my life, that God is always there for me. And, you know, we've all have our stories and we all have our trials and tribulations we've been through. And we know that in the end, when it comes down to it, that we know that God is there for us no matter what we go through.
Amen. Thank you, Mike.
I'm not one that memorizes easily, so I can't point to exact verses and point out where the citation is, but that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him, and that God sent Jesus into the world to save the world. Those verses and other verses indicating that Jesus is the way have helped me to be much braver in standing up for my belief. I've had instances where people have said, yeah, but you don't push your belief. It's not like you believe that that's the only true religion. And I have to tell them, yes, I do. Because if I don't believe that, then I'm making the Bible a liar. I'm making Jesus a liar. That, yes, this is more than just a theory to me. This is my faith, my belief that Jesus is the way for the whole world.
Thank you. Jenny Snook says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." Jenny says, "Can you believe it? The God of the universe has plans for me, and they are wonderful plans for now and the future. I just need to turn over my whole heart to Him, and why wouldn't I? How could I give Him any less for all He has done for me?" Anyone else this morning want to share a life verse, a scripture that's meaningful to you?
I know there was an opportunity to share a verse this weekend, and I thought of one that hit me the most was a sobering verse, and it's an important verse for us Christian people to live off and to remember. And it's in Romans 2:13, "For not the hearers of the law are just by God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." And for myself, I was thinking of the challenges that we have as Christians daily, that we need to remind ourselves that we are in a war with the opposition of Satan himself. A strong growing Christian, from what I've noticed in my walk with the Lord, I have been up against a lot of challenges, and one of it was that I had became an addicted person in an early age of my life, and God had removed all those things from my life when I became a Christian, and I'm so grateful for that. But there was one part of my life that I struggled with, and I would like to share it with you this morning. Some of you may be challenged by it, but for myself, it was the use of tobacco. I had a struggle. I knew my parents did not approve of it growing up, but it was something that I started at a young age. Through my rebellious stage, I would hide behind my parents' back. It was something that I was small, but it was something that held me back in my growth. Even after I had become a Christian, I would boil up inside when the pressure was on at work, most likely. It was an easy easy pressure that I was challenged in. And, for many times there, I didn't want to do it, and I didn't know why I kept doing the things that I was doing, but I was challenged. And I would go through dry spells, but then when the pressure came or I let go of the wheel, I would catch myself backsliding into that addiction. And here a few months back, the pressure was on, and I had messed up, and that's why I'd like to share it with you today, because I think it's important that we share our challenges with each other. And the Spirit would talk to me. I could feel it. I didn't want to do it. And I would do it, and then Lord, please forgive me, and I'd spit it out. No, it's a terrible thing. And I would do that. This was a seesaw that I had for a long time. And finally, one day the heat was on, it was hot out, and the work we do, it's kind of the way it is, but that still gives us a very mild excuse for what I was doing. I left to get the best of me, and I did it, and I pretty much wasn't long after it. What'd I do that for? And it didn't go long. Pressure came on. Well, once you do it once, the second time, Satan knows that he's just going to try it even harder. And I started to tell the Spirit, it was just the way it was going to have to be. And I pretty much told my conscience that it was just going to have to deal with it. And when I did that, God's grace, His protection around me lifted. He withdrew. And I remember taking a step up on this curb. It was a very small curb. And I felt this emptiness inside me. And when I stepped back, like there was nothing holding me, like gravity was just, and it threw me on the ground. And instantly I remembered the horrifying feeling of being so distant from the Spirit. And laying there, and the heat of the ground was just coming up out of me. And I was crying out to the Lord, to save me from this horrible pain that I was in. And the consequences for it was pain. I was going through a lot of time at that moment. And it's amazing how God came through this. And ever since then, I haven't had an urge since. It's been quite a few months now, and God has removed that transgression that I was dealing with, and it hasn't been a part of it. Why I struggled with it for so many years, I'm not sure. But a window did open up. From the beginning, that was actually the first thing that I can remember turning against my parents' will was the use of that. And I'm just so thankful God has taken that away. So I advise each and one of us that we try to live a holy life, sanctified, because through Him we will be washed clean and He will remove all our transgressions and we can be the salt of the world that we are called to. But if we hang on and do not repent and hear the Word but are not willing to change what we know is holding us back, we will not be fruitful people and spreading the Word and the light that we are called to. And there's coming a day where all things will be made and we will be judged according to our knowledge. And I believe that our hearts will be opened up before our Lord. And there's nothing going to be hidden from inside of us that He doesn't already know. So,
okay, thank you.
That's my testimony this morning.
Thank you, Debbie.
My verse is from the Psalms, and it is, trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your heart for Him, to Him, for He is a refuge for us. And when I feel overwhelmed with life, my refuge is to go into my bedroom and close the door. And I usually lay on the floor, or I lay on my bed, and I cry out to the Lord. And it says you can pour out your heart to Him. And that's what I try to do. And I envision those ladies who came to Jesus when their kids were sick, and they just, or the lady who wiped His feet with her hair, just falling at Jesus' feet and being able to pour your heart out to Him. And He is a refuge for us. And then the backup verse that Jesus says, He who comes to Me, I will in no wise cast out. And so that means I can come. That means you can come. That means we all can come. And God is a refuge for us. I thank Him for all the times that He's let me pour out my heart to Him. Now, some women have a lot more words, and some men have a lot more words than us. But it's a lot to listen to my heart sometimes. But He always listens, and I can pour it out all the time to Him, and I'm so thankful for that.
Thank you. Scripture?
One of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:13, and I learned it at my old school. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Amen. Thank you. Two more. All right, Sherry.
Over the last few months, my son and I have been working on our relationship, and Josh's comeback to me has always been, Mom, I don't understand you. And 2 weeks ago, I had a very serious talk with my son, and I said, Josh, I need to know what you mean when you say you do not understand me. He says, Mom, ever since you gave your life to God, he said, I don't understand you. And 2 weeks ago, when we were having this conversation, I came right out and I said, Josh, you need to tell me what is bothering you. And he said, Mom, you're not the mom that I used to know. I don't know who you are anymore. And I said, Joshua, I said, that's what happens when you give your life to God. I said, He totally transforms you. And my verse that I have stuck by is Deuteronomy 31:6. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. Because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, and He will never leave you or forsake you.
Thank you. One more.
Sometimes when I get terrified, I remember this old 23rd Psalm that I learned when I was a little child. And I would say this with people. I'm a nurse, and sometimes when people would pass away at the nursing home, I would whisper this in their ear as they left this life for another life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to invite you to stand, Dayton. I want to hear your verse. Would you turn in your chorus books to number 121, and we're going to sing, after Dayton shares the chorus, I Stand in Awe of You. Would you stand with me and turn to that chorus, and we're going to ask Dayton to share his verse, and then we're going to sing that together.
Love to hear it. Hold it real close so they can hear you.
My verse is Psalms 105:1. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done.
Amen. Thank you. That's excellent. Would you sing that chorus, I Stand in Awe of You today? I stand in awe of You. I stand in awe of You. Holy God, to You all praise is due. I stand in awe of You. Sing that chorus again. Heavenly Father, we thank You today to how You work in our lives and as different people shared where they're at and, Lord God, what You've done for them. We're thankful for Your faithfulness. Thankful, God, that You know where we're at and what we go through, and the Word of God is given to us. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and righteousness. We're thankful, God, that God's Word is able to discern the deepest things of who we are and guide us and help us. We're thankful, God, for Your faithfulness. We're thankful, God, that You're always calling out to us. And thankful for Your Word today. Your Word is amazing. It's powerful. God, help us to hold it deep within. Help us to make it a priority. Help us, God, to go back to those moments and times in our lives when we've seen Your faithfulness and hold on to that. And Lord God, that You would give us the desire, the willingness to share with other people what You've done for us, God. You're a great God and a mighty God, and we thank You for who You are today. I also think today of those, all of us on our journey right now. There are people with needs, Lord, and we want to hear Your Word and Your truth. I pray that You would help us to hear that today. I think especially of Bob Sholly today, and pray for Bob and Marlene and for Your hand on them during this time. I pray for Dolores John today and the loss in her family, her son this week, and how difficult that is, God. And I pray that You would bring Your Word to them and Your strength and Your Spirit. And for each one of us, God, wherever we're at today, that we would sense Your help and Your presence. Thank You for Your Word, God. May it be real and true in our hearts, Father, I pray. We love You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.